I love a mixed quartet. Wonderful. Praise God for that. And just a great praise to the Lord. And let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we had a great time as well with the men last night. Came to bowling. And we have a bowler amongst us. Glenn Higgs, man. Hit a 200 yesterday. Never seen that in my life. So obviously I bowl with church men all the time. So... But we had a great time last night and good fellowship together. And again, just grateful for just the time together as well, working around the church yesterday. And you know, you could ask about all the different stories from last night as well. I heard there was a dubious draw from one of the lanes from some of the young adults. A bit of cheating, I heard. But, you know, we'll leave that for yesterday, all right? We won't dwell on that. But I hope that you've come prepared this morning. You know, much of life is all about really preparation for what comes next and preparation each day. And, you know, often when we get our kids up and we try to help them with their routine, there's a reminder of all of the things that they need. And sometimes even with all the reminders, they still come away with something they forgot. They forget their hat. They forget their water bottle. They forget their bag, right? You ever have kids, you've taken them all the way to school and they look in the boot and there's no bag. Come on. And there's just sometimes you just sort of feel exasperated about trying to remind all the time about all of the things you need. And you know, you sort of can excuse that at that level, but sometimes even in the professional ranks, there's a lack of preparation. If you know a little bit of a sports fan, and I've been steadily just keeping up with the cricket, and it's in a bit of a different country. It's being co-hosted in the Caribbean and in the United States, and generally speaking, most Americans don't understand the sport, and it's interesting to sort of, hey, don't point fingers, some of you, but. But a lot of them are trying to figure out what the game's all about. But there was a particular one, I think it was in a professional league in England in the county championships. And you know how sometimes in the game of cricket, when a lot of people get out in regular intervals in a short amount of space, there's some sort of panic that happens in the change room, in the dressing room. And so one particular team, they had their openers out there, and the first guy got out after the first over. Then the next guy got out 3 balls later, and then the next guy came out, got out the next ball, and suddenly panic had set in the change room. And one of their players hurriedly put together all of the pads and his leg pads, his arm guard, and put his helmet on, and had sprinted out there because it was just next in line. And he comes out there and he walks right over to the wicket. And he asks for his guard and realizes he forgot the one thing that he really needed to bat, his bat, right? And that's one that's embarrassing. But also, you can't really play the game if you're not standing there with all of your equipment, right? You're lacking something. But, you know, so often in all of that, we find humor in it. And obviously, it's not as serious as other things in life. But you imagine if soldiers went into battle without what they were equipped and given so that they can survive the battle and win the battle. You know, there's some things that it's much more serious when we're not prepared. And warfare is one of those. You know, we live in a day where there's always threats. And you know, in recent news, as we know, there's a bit of warfare happening over there between Palestine and the Jews, and you look at that whole situation there. But there's so much technology now that often, even in warfare, when it comes to it, there's some things that you can just do from a distance. But when it comes to the Christian life and when it comes to the warfare that God speaks about, and by the way, if I can remind you this morning, you know, as Christians, we are in warfare. The Bible's very clear that there's a spiritual war that is raging even now, and perhaps even this week, as you went through the week, you felt it. You got a sense of just the spirit of the age and how sometimes there's a great difficulty to even come through the day without all of the spiritual warfare and the battle that sometimes resides just right there in our hearts and our minds, and this world that seems to just bombard us each day with spiritual traps and all of these things that we've got to be mindful about. But the Bible, whilst it doesn't hide the fact that we are in spiritual warfare, also doesn't hide the fact of how we are to prepare and how we're to go about our warfare. And, you know, as we think about this whole idea of spiritual warfare and the reality of the fact that we have opposition, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil, all three that are set to go against us as we go about the work of God and go about living for God, we're to be mindful also of our equipping and of the resources that God has given us. And today, we're just going to study through a little bit in Ephesians chapter 6 and turn to different places in Scripture and be reminded and perhaps even learn about our equipment. Because the Bible has called us to stand. Look at the passage that we read once again. And let's start in verse 10. The Bible tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And we understand that we have a very real battle, but we don't fight it in our own strength. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to approach life in the power of His might, that we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. But He goes on and He says this, He says, put on. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we understand that the book of Ephesians, it was written with the primary theme and the primary thrust of advising the church as a body. He's saying, as a body, you can't go into the battle without the equipment that I've given you. There's no use going into it with just as a body. No, you're an equipped body. And I want to remind you this morning that you don't approach life, and we don't actually approach life without any kind of without any disadvantages. We actually come into life fully equipped and fully prepared if we would choose to. And the Bible tells us that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So we may be able to stand. To stand against who? Against the wiles of the devil. You know, we have a opposition. That's no joke. You know, I know someone mentioned that two famous teams are coming into Brisbane for some exhibitions, and it's a game that I like to watch. It's basketball. It's the Harlem Globetrotters, right? Everyone knows who they are. It's a bit of an exhibition, a bit of a show. But not everyone knows who they always play, the Washington Generals, who are forever losers, right? But they're just a joke. It just they go around, and it's always a win. But you understand that our opposition is no joke. You understand that we have a very real enemy, not only in the flesh and in the world, but we have a very real enemy, the one who is in great opposition to all of what God stands for. We have the very real opposition of the devil. The one that's fallen, that wicked one, that liar. And the Bible tells us that he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. The Bible tells us that he's got great deceiver. And right from the beginning, though, you understand that actually God tells us that he's a fallen foe. And what we understand, though, is that he's had these millennia now to develop, and he understands how we operate. Now, he's not all-knowing. Now, he's not someone that is really in polar opposite to God. No, there's no real opposition to God. God is almighty and strong and victorious, but he stands. Tries to stand against the things of God. And part of that is you and I as God's people. Part of that is that he wants you to fail in your mission. He wants you to feel victimized by the warfare. He wants you to feel oppressed by the things that are happening in your life, and oppressed by the things around you. And he wants you to feel like a failure. And he wants you to go about and go through this life in a defeated way, all along, us misunderstanding that actually we're fully equipped for this battle. And we're fully equipped with all of the wiles or the tricks or the strategies of the devil. That actually we ought not to fret as we go about each day and worry and be concerned, but actually to have that mandate and to have that command and to have that mindfulness to just put on the whole armor of God. But notice what he says there, the whole armor. Right? He says, why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not those things that we simply see. It's against those principalities, against those powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so because of that, it says, wherefore, take unto you, and he says it again, the whole armor of God. And he's advising here that there's certain pieces that we need, and there's a certain understanding that we're supposed to have about the equipping that we have. You know, it's no use heading out there with all of the equipment if you don't fully understand what it's about. Right? That very same guy who came out with his bat without his bat could have come with his bat, but if he held it the wrong way, and if he had it in the wrong, and he didn't understand what it was for, he'd be just as good without it as he would with it. And too many times, I think, we don't fully comprehend what the whole armor of God means. And why is it that we need it? And he goes on and he says, why? He goes, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand and in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Why is it that we look around and we look sometimes at Christianity as a whole, and we sometimes see the failure? We sometimes see the victimization, and we sometimes see the great defeat that is happening all around us, and we're supposedly God's people and God's army and God's soldiers. And we look around, and here's what it is. We've not comprehended, and perhaps we've not fully understood what it means to put on the whole armor. And here in the first place, what that armor is. We can look, and we will in a brief moment here look at all the pieces. But he's saying here that without the full armor, if you won't take on the whole armor, then you're not going to be able to withstand in the evil day. And that having done all to stand, having done all means doing what's necessary for us to be able to stand. There's many who are bowing to the culture of the day. There are many Christians who have become defeated in their lives. There are many Christians who have no strength to stand, and they've found themselves weakened and depleted in their ability, in their faith, in their service. And they go about each day, and really, it's no different. They're just defeated. And yet, the Bible tells us very much so that we have an ability to stand. In fact, we have the ability and the equipping to do so. And he says there, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there's a comprehensive list there, and some that you'll recognize, some you'll understand, some you won't. You won't immediately think that is part of the armor. But God is specific about these things. But we're going to turn to different passages of Scripture this morning, because not only is the armor of God described in that way, it's also described in two other ways that tells us what it's about. It's not just described as the armor of God, and I'm going to explain why it's the armor of God right this morning. But we're also going to see that it's also the armor of righteousness. And that very same one is also the armor of light. And it's described in these three ways. And we're going to examine Scripture this morning, and we're going to see why. And so firstly, as we think about the armor of God, we see it as our equipping in Christ. And notice there again that this armor is specifically described. It had the imagery of the Roman soldier, those ones who really took on the whole world and trampled over its enemies. That one that, you know, has that image of the phalanx that come together linked in arm and linked in shield and forcing their way through whatever the opposition brought their way. And yet the Bible tells us in this imagery that we are to stand in this way. And we know the loins that are girt with truth. We know the breastplate of righteousness. We see the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We see the shield of faith. We see the helmet of salvation. We see the sword of the Spirit. And all of these make up the armor. And really what this was, as Paul wrote this to a church body, it was a call to arms. It was a call to recognize that this was needful because the battle was in hand. And I want you to note, firstly, that as we recognize the armor of God, that there's a need for equipping because there's a need. Because we are in battle. That the very reason why sometimes we feel defeated is because we've not recognized that there's equipping that is available to us, that is given to us. And these different parts of the armor, it needed a sense of readiness to put on so that we can go into the battle equipped. Do you feel and do you sense and do you know that as you approach each day that you're equipped for that day? God's saying you can. And God's saying that you are equipped. And God's saying that I provided for you the very means in which you can battle. And we won't examine every piece here. We see that it's the loins girt about with truth. And we can picture that as a bit of a leather material that's like a belt. Now, on this belt for the Roman soldier, it was very important. It made sure that everything fit in its place. It held everything together. You know, as much as they moved forward, they didn't want to get anything loose caught on anything that was surrounding them, including each other. They had to make sure, even though as much as they needed to work together closely, that they were fitted in their place, that they were taught, that things just didn't hang out and suddenly get tangled up. And you know what truth will do in your life? It'll keep you grounded. And truth is meant to be present in our lives, and we're supposed to dwell in truth. We're supposed to have knowledge of truth, and the Bible tells us that His Word is truth. And so we're supposed to get in the Word of God in that way and have our minds. The Bible tells us it's our minds that are to be good about with truth. And so our minds are to be shaped and not loosened. It's meant to be taught. It's meant to be tightened by the Word of God. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is doing right. Righteousness really, as we're going to look at in a little bit, is positionally who we are in Christ. But then also feet shod with the gospel of peace. It's an understanding that preparedness of the hope of the gospel as we go forward, that our manner of living, the way we walk, represents the gospel of peace. That shield of faith and every Roman soldier had his shield. His shield was a very pivotal part of the equipment. He had to stand there next to one another with their shield that could cover their whole body. As they crouched in that ready position, as they stood to withstand the enemy, that shield was very important. Then we see the helmet of salvation. You know, the very thing that really protects the very vital organ of our mind. You know, there's no soldier without a helmet. And it's pivotal that we come with that, and later on it's going to be called the helmet of the hope of salvation. And all of us here today, I hope that you would know and that you would be sure that you have Jesus as your Savior. That's salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hope that you're an expert, you're skilled in the sword of the Spirit. That you go about as the Spirit of God teaches you, that you have an expertise in how to use this each day as you battle, as you parry away the doubts, as you come to a place where you need to make a way, then you're going to have to find it in the Word of God. And so, very briefly, there's different parts of the armor, but that's our equipping. But it's called the armor of God because really, in the first place, the Lord wore it first. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. You know, the reason why you can come and know that this equipment works and is right is because God himself used it first. You know, you think about that scene. You know, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. David came to Saul. Saul had heard that David was courageous. David, out of any of his soldiers, who, by the way, were probably in their own armor, they went about and David was the only one that said, "Is there not a cause?" And so Saul hears about it, and David goes and has an audience with Saul. And Saul, even though he recognizes he was but a youth, he says, "Well, listen, I have no other volunteers, so you might as well go on our behalf." And so what happened? Saul tried to equip David with his armor. And what did David say about Saul's armor? I can't use it because I haven't proven it. What he's saying is, I haven't seen it in action. I haven't seen it. I've not proven it. And yet what I'm saying here is, you know, we have an armor that's proven. Look at Isaiah 59. Look at verses 16 and 17. Notice verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus. He's speaking about God himself. For he put on, notice what he says in verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Hey, listen, you know why it works? You know why it's good equipment? You know why it's proved? Because we have a Lord who went before us. We have a Lord who put on the armor himself. We have a Lord who recognized the battle. And we have a Lord who's the captain of our salvation, who himself put on the armor, who himself went and got the victory for us, who himself recognized that no man could stand, but only he could stand first. And we have a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ who's proven the victory, who's proven that equipping works, who's now saying, take on what I've put on. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And we understand that as we go about, we have sometimes this imagery of a meek and lowly Jesus. And indeed, he was a humble servant. And indeed, he had put himself in obedience. And indeed, he had walked this world in all of the weaknesses of humanity. He understood. And yet, we also need to understand that he was a victor. That he was a man of war. That he understood the very workings of this warfare that we're fighting. And he says this, hey, I've tried the equipment, it works, and I've won in it, and I'm victorious, and you can be too. And he's saying, put it on. He's saying, put it on. You know, he put it on first, and that the armor has to be put on. He says there in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, to put something on, there's purposeful. It's purposeful. You don't suddenly have the armor on. No, we're supposed to put it on. And that whole idea of putting on the whole armor of God, it's for this purpose, so that you could stand. It's so that you could move forward in the fight. It's that position of victory. You know, unlike other armies that put on so they can win, here's what I'm saying. God's saying, you put it on because you're already in victory. You know what? We're supposed to get up every morning and recognize that we have victory in Christ. You know what that is? That's putting on the whole armor. We're victorious. Well, actually, we're more than conquerors in Christ. Actually, he's already given us the victory in him. And as we recognize the fact that he overcame death, and he overcame sin, and he rose again, and he rose gloriously on that Sunday, we're supposed to recognize that that's the same victory and that's the same armor we're supposed to take on. So he's put on the whole armor of God. But it's got to be put on. You know, we've got to wake up every morning. And we've got to recognize that we have a Savior, that we've trusted in Him for our salvation, and that we have Him that has given us His Word. We have Him who's given us the truth, the way, the life, and we have Him, and we're supposed to put on Christ. We're supposed to come to Him and say, Lord, put nothing of me, put wholly everything of you. You know, too many times I think we come to approach the day thinking that we've equipped ourselves, thinking that somehow we've got enough in our own experience, in our own maturity. But you know what? Each day we're supposed to put on the whole armor. Each day we're supposed to approach this warfare having done all to stand. And the only way we're going to do that, the only way we're going to gain ground, the only way we're going to stomp forward for the Lord is to put on that whole armor. It's to not only to stand, not only to move forward, but also to withstand hardship. You know, every warfare is hard. There's no warfare that was meant to be just an easy one. That's why sometimes it's really pretty ridiculous that notion of warfare is compared to sports. Sports is meant to be enjoyed. It's a hard-fought game, but it's certainly no battle. You know, sometimes we have this idea of warfare like it's just an ease that we're supposed to go through. Listen, there are hardships in our battle. There will be days where you feel like perhaps you're not doing and you're not encroaching on the enemy as you should. And I'm afraid sometimes we've succumbed to that attitude because of the hardness of the battle. And I think there are many who have just fallen by the wayside, so to speak, and gone around and have lived defeated lives. And perhaps it's because of this, they've just not put on the armor. They've just not come with that attitude and understanding that this armor means they've won. This armor means it's a position of victory. And I'm saying, friend, don't turn your back. You know, you think about all of the pieces of the armor, it's all about the front. You know, only one, when you think about it, that protects any of the rear is the helmet of salvation. It's the only thing that surrounds everything. But everything else is all about moving forward. And so many times in the Christian life, we don't have an attitude of moving forward. We have an attitude of survival. We have an attitude that if I can just make it through the day, and sometimes you're going to have days like that. Sometimes you're in the heat of it and you just want to make it. But listen, overall, our attitude should be forward. We're equipped. We're equipped. And I want to remind you about that this morning. See, Jesus said it himself, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? Press forward. He's saying you're equipped. And you need to come with a holy confidence in the fact that he's equipped you this morning. Look at the second place. Look at the armor of righteousness. Look at this second descriptive. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I appreciate you turning there. So we've noted the armor of God, it's our equipping in Christ, and approach each day with an understanding that you are equipped, that armor means that you're victorious. And notice then the second descriptor of our armor, we then as workers together with him beseech you also, verse 1, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And he's reminding them of the fact that their life is to be lived in a certain way. This book of 2 Corinthians was a follow-up, obviously, to the first book, this first letter. And he's reminding the Corinthians about some things. And he says to them in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's saying, you know, you've been saved. You are who you are in Christ. And he says in verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. There were some who were questioning the validity of their position as ministers of God. And he then puts out a list of why they should be approved. He says, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. That sounds like a battle to me. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. And he's saying to them, look, we're approved because of these things. He's saying we've gone through. We've endured. We've gone through the sufferings. We've gone through and we've approved. And he's saying, how did we do it? By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He's saying, I've got the full armor on. He's saying the only reason I've been able to go through the suffering and the only reason I've been able to go through that is through these things. And as part of that, it was the armor of righteousness. And I think it's pretty simple. You know, Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, wrote about the wisdom of the world. He considered the morals of the world. He warned them about the union with the world and the traditions in the world. And Paul now is following up in his second letter to them about the things that he had instructed them with previously. And in chapter 6, Paul just finished this whole dialogue about being an ambassador in Christ. And so he's reminding the church of their responsibility, really, to have a good testimony of grace. He's saying, look, as much as we've had a good testimony, you need to have a good testimony. And he's saying to them, don't receive the grace of God in vain or don't leave it empty. Be active in it. And here's why, because you've got, just like we, have the armor of righteousness. And so in the context of this, he's really speaking about the righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And that's our armor today. Not only is it our equipping, it's also an enabling. And, you know, listen, as we go through each day, when we put on the armor, we're not actually recognizing our own power. We're firstly recognizing the power of God in us. But then secondly, we're recognizing the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed on us. Listen, none of us got saved because of our own righteousness, correct? We're all saved because of the righteousness of Christ. And he's saying, put on that righteousness. He's saying, recognize that who you are in Christ is this, you're righteous because of him. You know, we go about each day and we battle through and sometimes we get on the back foot because we still have the very real thing of this flesh. We still have to battle our old nature. We still have to battle this sinful world and we still have to battle an enemy that is opposing us and trying to trip us up and trying to sell us lies. And he's saying the only way you're going to have to battle that is by recognizing your righteousness in Christ through him. You see, righteousness is this whole doctrine of being pure in heart. It's conforming our heart and life to his expectation and his law. And righteousness used in Scripture is really this. It's equivalence to holiness. It's comprehending all of the things that are holy about God and journeying and understanding that actually God sees us positionally that way. Hey, listen, when you got saved, God now sees you through the lens of Jesus' blood. You've been washed. You've been washed clean and he sees you righteous. Listen, that's our equipping, but it's also our enabling. God has enabled you today. God enables you each day to live a righteous life. He gives you that position and it informs us, really, firstly, of this armor's availability. See, the putting on of this armor, it really refers to the life of righteousness that we already have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that positionally, actually, we've been justified freely through him. Listen, all of us here, when God sees us, he sees us in the righteousness of God, of the Lord Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who was a perfect Lamb of God. And so God views you that way. And so here's the implication, live that way. Live that way approved. And God imputed his righteousness upon us through Christ, through his shed blood. And now we've got to exercise this in our lives. And he's saying it's available to you, put it on. But it also indicates the armor's infallibility. This armor won't fail. You see, if we put on the armor of righteousness, it can never fail because it's not dependent on us. It's dependent on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. And notice with me verse 16. He says here in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He's saying he's given you the free gift of salvation for justification. Now, it's a bit of a, looks like a big word. It just simply means this, that you're justified in him. It's a legal term. He's saying you've been acquitted of all wrongdoing. He's saying that penalty has already been paid and you've been acquitted of all unrighteousness and sin in your life. And positionally in Christ, we've been justified. How? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, saying because of the fall of man through Adam, says even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Listen, you're justified. You've been acquitted. You were once guilty, but you're now found not guilty. You've been acquitted. And that's the armor we take, the armor of righteousness we come with. And we no longer have to live in sin. We can come with the truth of his righteousness placed upon us. And we ought to approach today and understand the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Listen, that righteousness didn't come free. It came free to us, but it came with a great cost. It came with a great sacrifice. It came with the reality of the cross and the beatings and the mockings and all of the things that Jesus endured. He endured you for you and I because he loved us. And he gave himself for us. And that armor of righteousness was well earned so that we could wear it each day. So that when we're faced with the choice to sin, we can think about the righteousness that we have in Christ and we no longer have to choose that. We no longer have to be victimized by the warfare of this world. We can come in great victory because we have a Savior who's shown victory over sin. And so this armor, not only does it speak about our equipping, it also speaks about our enabling. And so you can go through each day recognizing the righteousness of Christ in you. And our armor speaks of our position as righteous in the sight of a holy God through the righteousness of our Savior who willingly paid the price. But then lastly, notice the last thing about our armor. Look at Romans chapter 13. We're already in Romans. Let's flick a few chapters over to chapter 13. And we'll go through a few scriptures here, but Romans chapter 13. And notice verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that's true. You know, when our salvation means that there's one day a great redemption, that great redemption is that the overcoming of this carnal nature that we have. It's going to be this mortal putting on immortality. We're going to have new bodies and we're going to be shed away from this sinful flesh that we have. That's that redemption that we look forward to. But it's nearer every day because his coming is nearer every day. The night is far spent, the Bible says. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You see, this armor of light, it's not only our equipping, it's the armor of God, it's the armor of righteousness, our enabling. But really what the armor of light is it's our emblem in Christ. It's what we represent. See, not only is the purpose of the armor to protect and to go on the front foot in the offensive to stand, it's also to show which side you represent. Right? You come on and it's obvious when you see, it's obvious whose side you're on. And he's saying that it's the armor of light. And the purpose of the armor was not only for protective purposes, but also it was to determine your allegiance. Who do you stand with is really what he's saying. You know, each army has different armor, has different colors to wear, and that determined which side you were on. That's how you told on the battlefield not to go on the offensive, because that's part of, they're part of your army. That's your soldier. But then the others there, they were marked by different things. And so likewise for us, the armor of light, it indicates our allegiance with Christ. It's our emblem. It's who we represent, and we understand that. Light in the Bible identifies us as children of God. Okay, regarding the knowledge of God, even for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is the light. Right? The gospel illuminated our hearts in the darkness of it to show us our sinful condition. And so it even represents that knowledge of God. It represents our separation. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And in him there's no darkness at all, the Bible says. And so what we're saying here is it's light identifies us as the children of God. It really, we're even supposed to walk daily in the light. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to Ephesians. He says, verse 8 there, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And he's saying here, walk as children of light. We're supposed to walk in his light. We're supposed to walk with this armor that's our emblem of our belonging. And so often, sometimes there's an attitude that we go about and we don't represent anyone. Hey, listen, we're ambassadors. And this armor we're supposed to put on is meant to be so important each morning to recognize our enabling, our equipping, but also our emblem, who we stand for. It's about recognizing again that you're on duty today and you're turning up to represent. Put on the armor of light. And he's saying there, that's your allegiance, to walk as children of light. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1, a couple of books over. Colossians chapter 1. It's even regarding our translation. He's moved us from one place to the other. He's saying here in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hey, listen, don't make any mistakes. If you're saved and you're one of his, you've called on him to be your savior, then you're no longer what you were. He says you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. Before salvation, you were on a different team. You were in a different army. And you wore a different uniform. And you wore a different armor. And you represented different things. And you were walking a different way. And you had a different mission. And you couldn't help it because that's who you were. But listen, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, he drafted you to his team. And he's saying, hey, listen, take that off. You're no longer the kingdom of darkness. You're no longer of that. You're no longer representing all of those things. Hey, that's not your colors anymore. I want to give you new colors. And you're the kingdom of light. You're to walk as children of light. I've given you the light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. And I've given you victory in me, and you're supposed to walk in my light. Listen, we're a chosen generation. The Bible says we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hey, it ought to be that we've come into the day and we've put something on. We put on our armor. And once we put on our armor, we're equipped. We're ready for that day. Once we put on our armor, hey, listen, we're enabled. We've got his righteousness. And once we put on that armor and we recognize who we are in Christ, hey, we're to walk in light. And people should not mistake it. They should know who you represent. You know how I know? You know how I know that many Christians go about and sometimes are defeated? And sometimes they go about and they have an identity crisis. It's because they don't look any, they don't walk any different. They have no different ambition. They have no different mission. They have no different purpose. And they've forgotten to put their armor of light on. They're just representing every way with which the wind blows. They're going about and they're just representing the latest fad, the latest trend, the latest thing that they see. And they're going about and they're just living life. And they've forgotten they actually have the armor of light. That it's to identify you where your allegiances lie. You see, it's in regard to our kinship. It's those that we fight with, alongside with. See, we have a Father. He's the Father of lights. We are the children of light in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And the Bible is saying here that it's high time that we put on the armor of light. But notice something here. Go back to Romans chapter 13. Here's why. So often we don't have the armor of light. Here's why. Look at Romans chapter 13 again. Notice what we're supposed to do first. The night is far spent, verse 12. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You know, before you can put it on, you've got to cast some things off. There's some things we've entered into that kingdom of darkness. We've allowed it to permeate our minds again. We've allowed sin to fester. We've allowed wickedness to abound. We've allowed darkness. And we've walked in this world and the unholiness that is around us and the unholiness that can reside in the lusts of our hearts. We've not observed and we've not done anything about. And right there is where it lies. That's why some of you don't care an iota how you live. Because you're not cast off the works of darkness. You'll just go about and you think you're just, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, praise God for that. But listen, you have marching orders. And one day you will stand again. And you'll stand in account for how well you've lived your life and how good of a soldier you have been. And all it takes is to put on the armor. And the Bible calls it the armor of God. Why? Because it's our equipping. It's a proven armor. He's put it on before. And he's won the victory. It's our enabling. It's our righteousness in him. He was righteous. He bought our righteousness by his very blood. And now, who's our allegiance stand? Where does our allegiance stand? You know, it's our kinship. It's those that we stand. But we're supposed to firstly put off the works of darkness. See, darkness is associated with the lost. The Bible says in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. But he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It says in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And he says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, the darkness representative is a representative of the lost. Darkness is associated with hell. Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And so this idea of darkness, it's got association with that kingdom that is in opposition. And so we don't want to be mistaken. We want to be clear which side we belong to. And this morning, I hope that you're clear. I hope that you have an understanding that who you belong to Christ. And because of that, you've got an armor today. You've got an armor to put on. But you've got to put it on. You've got to reckon yourself. You've got to be reminded as you start the day, as you go through the day, who you are. And who you are is this: you're a victor in Christ. Who you are is this: you're more than a conqueror. Who you are is this: you're equipped, you're enabled, and you have an emblem to stand for. And you better put on the armor. We won't take the time, but you can look at it later. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 to 10, it talks again about that armor of light. It talks about us belonging to the day. It talks about the different parts, the breastplate, not of righteousness, but of faith and love. It speaks about the helmet of the hope of salvation. And all of that is to say that we need to be assured of who we belong to. And maybe today you just need to come back to an assurance, come back to a recognition of that time and that place where you accepted Christ as your Savior and live the way you're supposed to live again. And maybe you need to come back and remind yourself that who you belong to matters, who you belong to, who you represent, and you're supposed to put on the whole armor. Look at last place, look at 1 John. 1 John. Toward the end of your Bible there, 1 John. And notice chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Just read these verses. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, listen, walk in the light. Hey, walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, the reason why we are the children of light, the reason why we have an armor of light is because we have the Father of lights. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the captain of our salvation, who has equipped us. And what that is, it's the Christian's confidence to live like him. And so today and then as you go into tomorrow, would you put on the armor? Hey, you want to live a life that overcomes. You want to live a life that conquers the things that you... Hey, listen, God's already given us that way, the way to do that, and that's to put on the whole armor. We need to stand in full armor if we're going to stand in this evil day. Let's pray. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that we have. And thank you, Father, that, Lord, we aren't just given marching orders, Lord, in this life, but, Lord, you've given us the very equipment and the very means and the very resource to be able to take on the fight, take on the battle. Lord, would you remind us this morning to approach the battle with a different mindset? That, Lord, we would approach the battle with the reality of our victory already guaranteed in you. That, Lord, you would just help us to approach the battle with the reality of our righteousness in you. And then, Lord, that you would help us to see this battle out with full allegiance in the way we would live for you, Lord, as children of light with this armor that we have. And so I pray that you'd help us, each one of us, Lord, to just come to a place of decision today, Lord, to cast off the works of darkness, there's anything that is hindering you, anything that is of darkness in our lives that are not right, that are wicked, that are sinful, Lord, that really we've got victory over, may we cast it off today, and would we put on the armor of light. With every heads bowed, every eye closed, no one looking.